Today's daf is daf and tes. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the new parak, the sixth parak, entitled Hanodim Remavushal, says as follows. Hanodim Remavushal, a person takes another that he cannot get any hanah from a cooked item. He's motor b'tzli, he's allowed to get something from a roasted. And the definition of mavushal is something that's cooked, boiled in water. And tzli is something that's roasted with no medium of water or liquid, it's roasted from the fire alone. So if someone takes another, he can't get hanah from a bishul, he may get hanah from something that's tzli, something that's roasted, or something that's even a shaluk, which is something that's not entirely cooked. It may have been cooked and boiled in water, but not fully cooked. That's different. Shaluk is different than mavushal. So mavushal is very specific to mavushal, but not tzli, not shaluk. So the Mishnah continues and says, Amar konim tavshil sha'ini toim aser, b'may sekhtera rach, u'mutter ba'ava. So a person says, I can't get hanah from tafshil, that I cannot taste it. So what does tafshil mean? So the Mishnah explains, he's asur b'maisa kadeira, something that's made in a pot, asur rach, and something that's boiled in a way where it's very soft, but he can taste something that's very thick. Now, soft and thick don't seem to be opposites. I guess thin and thick, probably. He can eat something that's thin, but he may not eat something that's thin. Maisa Kedera, I guess, usually refers to something that's very thin and liquidy. But he can have something which is thick, I guess, which might be something more dry. Let's see if the Ron explains what the difference between Rach and Ava is. The Ron says, let's look at the beginning of the Ron, I guess. Hanodir min Amavusha, the first one on the Perek. Hanodir min Amavusha mutu betzli v'shaluk. She'enam b'chlal lashem b'vushal. Roasted and shaluk are not considered part of bishul. By the way, how do they define the word shaluk? Partially cooked?
Undercooked.
Okay. Shaluk is bashav lo bashav. Says they're on. It's partially cooked, undercooked. Didn't need the shaluk nami mashem b'vushal yoser midai. Even though sometimes the word shaluk means overcooked, kidamina b'perikol basar hech hakaved oseres veino neseres shaluk shluk oseres v'neseres. So even though normally shaluk means overcooked, shaluk tahacha, the use of the word here is bish bashal lo bashal here, it's undercooked. The binadarim halacha chelashim binyadim, the tafshoshin is bashal yos midayim bichlam mavushalhu. Okay, the way people normally speak. Something overcooked is included in the word when you say mavushal. So shaluk here must be referring to something that's undercooked. Then the Ran says, Aser amar konim tafshil shenin toim aser ba maisa keder rach umutu ba'ava. One may have something either thin or liquidy and not something thick or dry. So the Ran explains, maisa kedera could go in chalkim targis v'tisni. Maisa kedera is something we'll see later on. It's these are words of how divided, how pureed, I guess, the item is. The kamar dim hurach, if it's so pureed, I guess, it's aser val ava mutu. If it's very thick and bigger pieces, it would be mutter. The high Tana kol mida de misachle beirifta tafshil karle kedamina megemara. The Gemara is going to tell us that something that's considered a tafshil, something that's eaten with bread, there's something soft, like a spread would be something eaten with the bread, as opposed to something thick. Umaisa kedera ava, something very thick, bape napshi achle, you eat it independently, achle le below pas, that you don't eat with that, you don't eat with bread, you eat it on its own. So that's the difference between rach and av. Rach is something that's very, again, soft, or maybe liquidy, that you would smear on a piece of bread, as opposed to av, something that's thick, that in its own right is able to be eaten by itself. So back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah says, again, the person says, Amar konim tav shosheni toim, he's also b'maisa kader rach, but it's mutter b'ava, and he's also, says the Mishnah, mutter b'beitza, tumuta u'bedlas harumuta. He may also have an egg, and the Gemara is going to explain what this means, an egg that is, it's eaten separate from a piece of bread, which the Gemara will tell us what that means, and, the other case of Dlas Harumutza, Dlas is a gourd. I'm not sure the word Rumutza means. The Gemara will explain this as well. Is there a definition here at least?
Not yet.
Okay, good. So the Mishnah says further, Hanodim b'maisa kedera, a person says, I can't get hana from maisa kedera. Ein aser ela b'maisa rasachsa. Only from something that gets boiled is aser, but something that's not boiled, that's cooked through some other means, not through the means of water, then that would be mutter. If he says, finally, the Mishnah says, Amar konim hayored l'kedera, I can't get enough from something that goes in a pot, she'enotom aser, she'enotom, I can't taste it, aser b'chol hamesbashin b'kedera, anything that gets cooked, even if it's pot roasted, even something that's not necessarily boiled, but it gets placed in a pot, that would be usher as well. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Tanya Rabbi Yoshia Oser, Afa Pi Shein Rai Ladavar Zechada. Rabbi Yoshia says it's usher. What's usher? So the Ran tells us, the first Ran on the Gemara, it's around eight wide lines down. Tanya Rabbi Yoshia Oser, Denodim Ram Mavushal Oser Bitzli. Even though our Mishnah says that one who says I can't get enough from Mavushal, it's a Mota Bitzli. Rabbi Yoshia argues in our Mishnah, and it's another Tana. He says, no, one who says Oser, sorry, one who says takes Hanaha, takes a nether from Hanaha, from Mevushal, is also including an Isser on Tzli. And even though there's no Raya Ladavar, even though there's no real proof that Tzli is included in Bishal, says Gemara, there's a Zech Ladavar, there's a remez, there's a hint to such an idea of Tzli being included in Mevushal. And what's that Pasuk? So he quotes a Pasuk, Shenemar, the Pasuk that's found in Divrei Yomim. It says, Vayvashlu ha-Pesach be'esh k'mishpat, that he cooked the Pesach in fire, like according to the halacha. And the halacha is, the truth is, if you look at the Pesukim in Parshas Bo and elsewhere, the halacha is that you have to do roasting. It's tzli, and it's the raisa to do bishul to it. So the word vayivashu can't be referring to cooking in water, because that's an iser. It wouldn't be kamishpat. So it must be the word vayivashu sometimes is used also for tzli. So that's the raya ledavar, that tzli and bishul is one of the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Baha Kamithlagi. Maybe they're arguing about the following idea. Our Mishnah and Rabbi Yoshia are arguing. The Rabbi Yoshia Savar Halach Acher Lashon Atara. Yutana Dilan Savar B'Nedarim Halach Acher Lashon Bnei Adam. So when it comes to interpreting a person's nether, Rabbi Yoshia thinks, we go to the Pasuk. I don't care what the person's intention was when he took the nether. He may have said Bishel and had only in mind Bishel, meaning boiled, and he did not have in mind roasting. But if we have a pasuk that says bishul is tzli and tzli is bishul, so it doesn't make a difference what he thought. We go achel lashon b'nei lashon Torah. That's what Rabbi Yoshia says, and that's why tzli is aser as well. And according to our Tanakam and our Mishnah, that no, you go after lashon b'nei adam. When people say bishul, they mean bishul only. They mean boiled. They don't mean tzli, and that's why tzli would be mutter if the person took a nether of bishul alone. That's the Gemara's initial suggestion. Where the machlokes between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yoshia is. The Gemara says, "Lo, not true. That's not the machlokes." To chuli alma. That's a klal, very important yisod throughout all of the dharma. We always follow what people's language is. And when people say bishul, so if bishul means bishul and not tzli, that's what it means. If bishul means tzli also, then that's what it means. Whatever the normal way of speaking it means. So the Gemara says, so what's the machlokas then? So machlokas is, mark yase, depends where they come from. Ba'asre de tana, Dilan, the place of our Mishnah, Litzli, Karile, Tzli, Mavushal, Karile, Mavushal. There are two independent ways of cooking. Tzli is called Tzli, and Mavushal is called Mavushal, and never the two shall meet. They don't overlap at all. When you say Bishal, you mean Bishal only, you don't mean Tzli. So for that reason, our Mishnah thinks Tzli is permitted when you only create an Isser on Bishal. But Ba'asa de Rabiosha, where Rabiosha came from, in their language, Afilu Tzli, Kar, Mavushal, even the word roasting, they refer to cooking. Vaha, Kra, Nasivle. But didn't he bring a pasuk that supported it? Asmach d'valma. That's really asmach d'valma. As we said, it's not a real proof. But the real proof is lashon b'nei adam. So I think we would, the place where we live in America, in English, we would go based on Rabbi Yoshia. If I say, grilling, sometimes I say, I'm going to cook some hamburgers, I'm going to cook some hot dogs. I think people would use that language as well of cooking, just like they would use for cooking noodles, even though roasting and barbecuing would be, grilling would be more appropriate, people would say cooking as well. So I think where we come from would be similar to Rabbi Yoshia and would assert tzli if he said cooking alone. Okay, I'm just looking on the side here for a second. Okay, nothing doing here. Then the Gemara says that two dots, Konim Tafshu v'chule. If a person says that I cannot have Tafshu, I cannot taste this piece of Tafshu, he means something that actually goes on a piece of bread, as a spread of some sort, but not something that stands alone, that's eaten by itself. V'habim Tafshu another. But didn't he ask himself from any Tafshu? Seemingly even something that might be thick, even something that might not go on bread. He didn't say anything about bread. So why is only something that's rach that gets spread on bread, and why is something ava actually mutter? Tavshil would include all types of cooked items. So Amar Abaye explains, Hai Tana kol mida de misachel be rivsa tafshu karile. This Tana thinks that anything that's eaten, misachel, eaten in berifsa, it's eaten with bread, that's what you call tafshu. When you speak in their language, wherever the Tana came from, tafshu meant tuna fish. Well, tuna fish, I guess, could get cooked also. Tuna fish is cooked, that we get from the stores. So it's something that gets cooked, that's placed on bread. I'm not sure another example of this. I guess fish is probably the best example. Or maybe a type of meat that gets placed on bread. Or maybe even a fruit or jam or something that might get cooked and pulverized and used to spread on bread. That's what the word tafshu meant. Tafshu didn't mean something like oatmeal that gets eaten on its own without using any bread. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, and this, as we said many times in Nedarim, Vahatanya is a nechusa to support. Throughout the rest of Shas, almost always Vahatanya is a kasha. Whenever a new statement begins with a letter Vav, it's always the introduction of a kasha. But Vahatanya in Nedarim oftentimes means b'nechusa as a support. So Vahatanya, the Brisa supports this idea. Hanodim min haptavshil aser b'chol mini tavshil. Person who says, I can't get enough from tavshil. He prohibits himself from eating any type of tavshil. V'aser b'tzli, he cannot have anything grilled either. U'b'shalak, anything undercooked. U'mavusha, something that's actually cooked. V'aser b'hatarios rachos. He's also forbidden with this type of food. What's this type of food?
Tarios?
Tender squash, okay. He also cannot have tender squash. She'achulin, ochlemen, cholin rather, the ill, eat by and pisan, they eat it with their bread. We see from here, who cares about the bread? What's irrelevant of that must be the definition of tafshil, all the things, whether it's grilled, whether it's undercooked, all those are only a food item that's eaten with bread. So that's a raya that tafshil is only referring to something that's eaten with bread. Something that's too thick, that stands on its own, that's eaten on its own, is not included in the word tafshil, according to our Mishnah. Bar challenges this idea now and says, Aini, is that really true? And how Rabbi Yirmiyah Chalosh, once Rabbi Yirmiyah was not feeling well. A certain type of doctor, I guess. Yeah, went in Lasvuya to heal him. Okay, so he was feeling sick, and a doctor came in to heal him. Chaza, he saw Kara Dimachas Bivesa. So he saw, what do you see in the house here?
Squash.
So a squash, okay. So a squash. Shav came enough. So he left. He left. So Amar, the doctor said, Macha Mavasa Isle the Didam Bivesa. The Macha Mavas is in this house. Va'ana Ayil Lasa. Yes, I'm going to go heal him. I'm not putting myself in danger. He's not feeling well at all. It's a danger for me. Good morning.
Good morning. Can I continue?
Okay. So we saw before that the squash is something that's healthy for a person, that the sick person would eat squash to eat to get healthier. But we have the story of Yirmiyah. The doctor saw the squash. He said, wait a second. I'm not walking into this house with a squash there. That means a malcham avos here. What I meant by the malcham avos is if this sick person is eating a squash, that's unhealthy for him. And the malcham avos is just on the right there, ready to take this person's life. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha. This is not problematic at all. Ha brichichi ha be'ashuni. Depends on the type of squash you're referring to. One is where it's referring to the rechichi, the Ran tells us is alu, the leaves, and one's talking about the ashuni is the cushion, the roots or the hard part of it. So I'm not sure which one's good, which one's not good. Let's see. The soft ones, the leaves, are beneficial for the ill, and the one that's hard, the either the hard part or maybe the roots, different parts, that's bad for the sick person, and that's the difference. Then the Gemara says, Rava bar Ula amar ha bekra gufa, b'ha begave dekra. One referring to the actual part of the squash, and one's referring to the inside part of the squash. The Amar Rav Yehuda luleve dekra, the heart, I guess, of the kra, b'silka, luleve dekisna, b'kuscha. So what's it referred to? So that which is the lave, the inside of the dekra, which is a dlas, a gourd, similar to a squash, I guess, it's good to cook it with silka. Where is silka's?
Leek.
And lulvei de kitna, the heart, the inside of the pishan, which is flax, is the kutcha, is good to eat with some type of dairy and oat type of food item, which was pretty common back then. V'davarzeh also la'omro b'fnei amaretz. This is something you cannot tell an amaretz, and the reason why I can't tell an amaretz is because if they realize that pishan is so healthy for you, they're going to start ripping up all the pishan throughout the fields, and we don't want that happening. So keep that between ourselves, that flax is actually healthy to be eaten along with kusach. So what comes out from here is that the inside of the squash is what's beneficial for the sick person, as opposed to the squash itself, which is not. Interesting Gemara. Okay. Slightly different. The Ran says the reason why I can't tell Amaretz is like what I just said, the three lines up. So they don't start uprooting the Pishan for this purpose. But if you look at the Rush, the bottom Rush, it's for me the bottom right. You can't say this in front of an Amaretz. They're going to make fun of what we say. Even women know this. So what are you telling us about this? So, interesting. Interesting. The Tosus takes the opposite approach. Tosus says, no, don't say it to them because they're going to say Davar Shtus is written in the Gemara. What's this referring to? This is ridiculous. Who thinks that actually works? That Pishon is going to be healthy for you? So they're going to make fun of you that doesn't work. So you have a whole range of what it means the problem is. And the Mefarish says he had a fourth shot. The Mefarish says, if you see the Mefarish around seven lines from the bottom, he says, Davar Zeh also the Omer B'fnei Am Haaretz, Mishum De Davar Me'ulahu L'Rufua. It's something that's very beneficial for someone's health. You can't tell an Amaretz shum davar sheyahana mimenu. Wow. You can't tell an Amaretz something that might benefit him. And for that reason, you keep it back from him. So you have four different explanations as to why one may not tell Amaretz. Okay, interesting. The Chassam Sofer asks about the story. When this Rofe went to visit Rabbi Yirmiyah and he saw that there's a delas, there's a squash, he ran out. Why did he run out? And didn't he know that the inside of the squash was actually very good for the sick person? So he says, must be that this Rofe was Amharet and he didn't know this halacha. No one told him about it. That's why he ran out. He knew the gourd itself was a problem. He didn't know the inside of the gourd was actually quite beneficial. Gemara now says in the last line of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Rav Amar Man Chulin Rabbanan, who is sick, Tamid Chachamim are the ones who are sick. Why? If you look at the bottom Ran here, My Chulin Rabbanan, Ein Hachanami Dekari Ben Rechichi Ben Ashuni Kashin Lechuli. Nope. Whatever part of the squash you're referring to, whether it be the leaves, whether it be the hard part, the soft part, it's all bad for someone who's sick. Vechikatani Shecholin Ochemen, so when it means a person who's sick eats them, Pisan lav chulin mamish doesn't really mean someone who's sick. Elaman chulin rabbanan dafil bebriusun hein tsushe koach mepesha torah metashes kocham. It refers to not someone who's actually sick. Somebody who's actually sick should not have squash. It refers to rabbanan who are weak. We call them chulin, but not really sick. They're weak because when they learn Torah, the Gemara tells us that it makes them much weaker. So they're allowed to have squash. It's helpful to strengthen somebody, but not to heal somebody. That's the difference. So chulin doesn't really mean sick. It means somebody who's weak. And Rav, the last line here says at the page, going with Amud Beis now, Rava Latame, Dama Rava Kiman Matzlinan Al Ktsiri Vamiri. Like who says we're supposed to daven on the people who are sick and the people who are weak. Ktsiri are those who are sick, Mri are those who are weak. Kaman Rabbi Yosi Medamar Ktsiri Mri Shmamina. It must be like Rabbi Yossi, that Shmamina Ktir Mamish Miri Rabbanan. Why are these two different categories? Why is Ktir Miri two different things? It must be Ktir refers to someone who's actually sick, and Miri refers to someone who's actually weak, like a Talmud Chacham. So if you see, let's go to the Ran. The Ran says on the top of the page here, Kiman Matzlinan Ktir Amri, Bechol Yimos Hashanah, and be daven for them all year long. Kaman Rabbi Yossi must be like Rabbi Yossi, who says in the Gemara in Bava Kama, rather Gemara a Perek Kama de Rosh Hashanah, the first Perek of Rosh Hashanah, Adam Nidam Mechal Yom. A person is judged every single day. The Ilah Rabbanan and the Islay Di Nidam Rosh Hashanah came in Shenigmar Dinan Ein Tefilah Malas Lahen. So if it's true that the Rabbanan that they get judged in Rosh Hashanah, since the Gemara Din is done, on Rosh Hashanah, the tefillah doesn't work for him anymore. So I'm not sure the kasha here. So Ktsiri Mamash says the Ran is cholon, those who are sick, who muke Ktsiri lefishin afsham ktar machmas chalyam. One who's sick, and the reason why I learned Lashon Katzar, which is short, is being used because they have a short nefesh. They're very sick. They have a hard time breathing, I guess. So I'm not following the flow here. Oh, that's a refer. Aha, I got you. Aha. Okay. When the Ran said the Rabbanan, he didn't refer to the Rabbanan who were davening about. The Rabbanan who argue. Rabbanan hold in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah that we get judged in Rosh Hashanah, and that's all. Everything's complete. It's Rabbi Yossi who says we get judged every single day. So since we get judged every single day, we have to daven every single day. So according to him, you have to daven every single day. So why are you davening for Ktsiri and Marie? What are the differences are? So it must be Ktsiri referred to those who are actually sick, and Marie referred to those who are actually very weak. And you daven every single day for these two. So we see, but what we see from here, though, the Rabbanan are considered weak and require davening on their behalf. The Gemara now says three lines down, Umutir ba'ava, a person who makes a neder from something that's a tavshu, that's a tavshu rach, may eat something ava, something thick. So masisin delo b'kibavloi. The marisha is not like the bavloi, the way the people of Babylonians, of Babylon eat. Why? Dama Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said, now by the way, it's interesting to note Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira used to live in Bavel and he left to Eretz Israel. He took, I think he fasted a 40 fast or so before he left Bavel. He wanted to forget all the Torah he learned in Bavel in order to learn, have a fresh, clean slate to learn Eretz Israel. So that's interesting background to note from the following statement. He says, Dama Rabbi Zeira, Bavloi tifshayd achli lachma b'lachman. The Babylonians are stupid because they eat bread with bread. They have bread and they put like oatmeal on top of bread, doubling up on the carbs, doubling up on the bread. That's what they do. So in Bavel, they would eat everything with bread, but in Eretz Yisrael they wouldn't eat everything with bread. So therefore, our Mishnah who holds like thick things are not eating with bread is actually going to be mutter. Just get the tissue, sorry. Again, so our Mishnah said certain things that are thick, which are not eaten with bread, are not considered part of the tavshu. And it goes against what they did in Bavel. In Bavel, even things that were thick, they would eat on bread, as Rabbi Yezeri says, they're stupid for wasting putting bread on top of bread. So Amar B'chisa, now the Gemara says, Amar B'chisa, Dimashil Lahon, Laholin, a lot of Aramaic here now. So, Dimashil Lahon, Laholin Nikdane Dehutal. The people of Hutal were very careful in the way they would eat. They were people who would lend what? Lend to them?
Inquire of them.
Uh-huh. Oh, they'd ask from them. Okay, fine. They'd inquire from them. I say, Yishal, not Shoel. Shoel, same Lashon. They'd inquire from them. Hadin Daisa. This Daisa is what? Oat or something? Or oatmeal?
Porridge.
Okay. Hechen Mali Lemechle. How is it proper to eat porridge? Dechiti. Is it appropriate to eat wheat-based porridge with bread of wheat? V'disari b'lachme disari, and barley-based porridge with barley bread. Or perhaps the opposite, d'chiti b'disari v'disari b'dechiti, or is it best to switch, have a barley-based porridge with wheat bread and vice versa? Rava achli b'chasisi. Rava, what he would do is, he would eat his bread with chasisi, which is a porridge from the flour of klios, but some type of like cooked flour of some sort.
Oven dried grain.
Okay. Interesting Gemara here. Then the Gemara says, Rabba by Rav Huna, Ashichei le Rav Huna. He once found Rav Huna. His father, Rabba found his father, Rav Huna. The Kaichel Daisi Betz Baisai. He was eating with his fingers. eating porridge with his fingers. Amarle, amai kachel mar bidei. Why are you using your hands? Amarle, hachi amar Rav. Rav says, daise beetzbati besim. It's very good. It's sweet when you use your fingers to eat the porridge. V'chol dechein betartin. V'chol chein betlas. And certainly if you use two fingers, and even worse if you use three fingers. So not quite the etiquette that we have nowadays. I remember once hearing this is a very important gemara. This is a gemara that proves that perhaps back then they ate without any utensils. Nowadays this wouldn't fly as much. Then the Gemara says, "Amar." Oh yeah, I've right. That's a good point. Uh-huh. So it sounds like the rule is to actually use utensils. He was the one doing something interesting, so maybe only having porridge would be appropriate to use your fingers. Okay, fair point. I remember there being something here. I don't remember Rabbeinu Chanan, but I don't see Rabbeinu Chanan on the side here. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar le Rav Lichia Brei." Rav says to his son Chia. Rav Huna also taught his son Rabba, Mizamrin Lach Lemecha Daisa. They should invite you to have porridge. If they invite you to eat porridge, it's appropriate to go eat the porridge at parsa up until the distance of a parsa. Don't go beyond that to go for some porridge. Lemecha Bisatatur. If they invite you to eat some ox meat, so then, add to last of parsa. Then you should go the distance of three parsa, even further to find to eat the meat. But beyond that, don't go. Amar le Rav. Rav said, "Lechia brei to son Chia." V'chein Amar le Rav. Huna le Rabba brei. Rav Huna told his son Rabba, "Kol midam, any food item velo tiflot, you should eat, but don't spit it out. Kamei Rabcha, but in front of your Rebbe, don't spit." Libar min krod v'daisa, except for a gourd or a squash or a porridge, that if you eat it and some of the spit saliva develops in your mouth, that you have to spit out because that's dangerous. She harin domim lipsilta shel avar. The saliva developed from eating these food items is similar to a wick of a what does that say of. Of lead, I think, or something like that, right? I think the wick are made of lead, which is quite dangerous. So don't spit, don't swallow that. The afilo kame shavar malka, even in front of the king, the queen, which is requires more respect, even in front of them, pilot one should spit out and don't be embarrassed because it's dangerous to swallow such developed saliva. Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, both of them were once eating together. Chad achel hadaisa beetzbasa, one was using his finger, chad achel behutza, one was using a type of utensil, a hutza is a piece of wood. Amar le achel behutza, the one who's using the piece of wood as a fork or a spoon, le achel beetzbasa, he said to the one who turned to the one who was eating with his finger, amasa ata machila torasecha, and so when will you eat food with excrement, literally? I mean, you're using your hands are filthy, how could you use your hands to eat? Use a utensil. So amar le achel beetzbasa, le achel buta, the one who was eating with his finger said to the one who was eating with a fork, "An masai ta umachilna rukacha." Until when will you eat your own saliva? I guess that's clinging to your finger, maybe to the spoon. So you put your finger in the mouth, and you have now saliva on your finger. You put it, dip it back in. You end up eating your own saliva, which he thought was problematic.
That I'm
going to
have your saliva.
Because they were sharing.
We were sharing the bowl.
But I guess that wouldn't happen with the spoon. I guess you'd wipe it off in between using the spoon.
No, the one who's using the fingers is having dirt from his fingers. So the other guy is saying, I'm going to eat your dirt. And then he comes back and says, well, now I'm eating your saliva because you're getting your...
From using the same fork.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aishi Lekame, Belusfin. They were brought in front of these two gedolim, a type of fig, which wasn't so great, not good for the digestion. Rabbi Yehuda achel, and Rabbi Shimon lo achel. Rabbi Yehuda decided to eat, and Rabbi Shimon didn't eat. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, the one who ate, says, "My time lo achel mar." So Rabbi Shimon, why are you not eating? Amalei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, "Elu." This does never leaves your body. It goes in your stomach, goes into your body, and never leaves. So I'm not going to touch this. Rabbi Yehuda says back, "Kol shkem is better." That means you'll be satisfied. You won't be hungry tomorrow. It's going to last for a while in you, so it's a good thing to eat if it doesn't leave the body quickly. Rabbi Yehuda have a yosef kamei Rabbi Tarfon. Once Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Yehuda, "Hayom panecha tzuvim. Today your face is glowing." So Amalei. Amash, yesterday, Yatsu Avadecha L'Sadeh, your servants went to the field, Behavilanu Tardin, and brought back some Tardin, some leek. V'achlam B'lo Melech, we ate it without any salt. And because of that, our faces are golden. V'im Achalim B'melech, and had we eaten them with salt, Kol Shkein Shekim Panei Yatsuvim, even more so, our face would be even glowing more than they were, than they are now. Okay, I'm not sure what the glowing of the face has to do with the leeks and the salt. I guess it would be tastier that way, and it would make you a little bit more content. Amri Hahim Machunusa, once was a particular non-Jewish woman, the Rabbi Yehuda, she said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mora Virave, so you teach halachas, and you are making Rave, you're making Parnasa. And you're getting drunk. So how are you able to teach and get drunk at the same time? One who's drunk is not allowed to give a psak halacha. It's a mefurish pasuk in Parsha Shmini. I think that's the shaila. Looking for a Ron here. I'm not seeing it. Yeah, exactly. So how could you give a psak halacha if you're getting drunk? That's what the lady asked him. So Amar Lai, so she says, he says back to her, Hemanusa biyadai dehayi etisa. I promise, make a shua in the name of that woman. If I taste ela kiddusha avdalta varba kasi de pischa, I make a shua that from this woman that I never drink any wine other than on kiddush avdala and the arba kosis throughout the year. Other than that, I never drink wine. The chagreni tideo and. I guess he would wrap something around his head from he had such a headache from drinking the wine dalakosos, mina pesach alateres from pesach until shavuos. So all the big headache he got from drinking the dalakosos and leil pesach would cause him a headache for the next 7 weeks. Ela chachmas adam tari panav. The reason why my face is glowing not because I drink wine, I'm happy, I'm giddy. It's because the chachmas adam, the wisdom of man learning Torah, says the pasuk kolas is tari panav. Is that what glows my face? Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar lehahu tzeduki l'Rabbi Yehuda. Once the tzeduki said to Rabbi Yehuda, panecha domim I kemalvi ribis o I kemagadli hachazerim. Your face is so lit up and glowing. You must be someone who's lending on interest and getting a lot of money and are so happy because of that. Or you're raising pigs, and pigs also is something that causes the face to light up, I guess, because you make a lot of money with very little tircha. I'm not sure what the raising of pigs, what do you get from that? So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Tzeduki, Bihudai Tarvai Asirin. With the respect to the Jews, those are both Asir. We can't lend with ribbis, and we cannot raise Chazerim. Eli, you want to know why my face is glowing? Esrim of Arba Beis Hakisa Isli. There are 24 bathrooms I have, Min Beis Ad Beis Medrasha. From the moment I leave my house till I get to the Beis Medrash, there are 24 stops along the way I could use the bathroom. And each moment, I go in to check whether I need to go to the bathroom or not, and that's what makes me happy. It's never concerned I won't have a bathroom and access to a bathroom. Okay, again, not sure what that means. We have to understand what it was like back then.
It seems like he's making fun of the Tzeduki here.
Aha, uh-huh, this wasn't a real response.
He wasn't serious about the bathroom.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, alright. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda kad azal lebe medrasha. When Rabbi Yehuda would go to the base medrash, shakal gulfa al kasve. He would take a jug of some sort, and bring it to the base medrash, and he would use it to sit on, apparently. A little chair. And Amar Gedolim Lacha, Shemechabed, this is Baala. And he wasn't concerned, even though this is Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't concerned with his own kavod of schlepping something in the shuk to get to the base medrash. He said, Gedolim Lacha, Shemechabed, this is Baala. The great is the work that it honors, it's a zechus, on sitting the base medrash and not sitting on the karka. Better for me to sit in the chair than to sit in the karka, even though it means I'm schlepping throughout the shuk this chair. That's better that once I get there, I could sit with more kavod in the base medrash. Rabbi Shimon Shakal Tana Kasve, he would take a couch or an entire chair or something, a basket on his shoulder. And Amar Gedolah Malacha Shumechabed, this is about the same thing. That this is greater, that I do this work in order for the end, I have a place to sit down and have more honor sitting on the chair in the base medrash over a basket as opposed to on the floor. Devesis of Behuda, the wife of Behuda, Nafekes, once went out to the shuk. And Noctis Amra, she bought some wool. So Avda Glima de Hutfe, and she went ahead and made a nice shirt with it, a chashuv shirt. Kad Nafkes Lashuka, when she went out to the shuk, Mechaseba, she wore this beautiful, beautiful garment that she just made. V'chad nafik Rabbi Huda litzluyeh, and Rabbi Huda went out to go daven to the shul. Have a michse. He would also wear this. They would take turns wearing this beautiful cloak she made. U'matzin, he would daven wearing this. V'chad michse be, and when he would wear it, have a mevarach. He would say the bracha, baruch shatani meal. It made this bracha, which we don't have in our siddur durim, but it made a bracha that Akash Baruch Hu, or really that his wife, I guess, made this beautiful cloak for him. Okay, I guess just another story of Rabbi Huda leaving his house, going to the shuk. And then finally, the last story in the page goes that Zimnachad, the one time Gazer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Tanisa, he once decreed a fast, and Rabbi Shimon at the time was the Nasi. Rabbi Huda lo asa lebe Tanisa. Rabbi Huda refused to come to the Tainis. So Amrin Lei, so they said to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the reason why he wouldn't come to the fast, the place where they were fasting, is lo esle kesuya, he didn't have a nice suit to wear, he was uncomfortable. So Shadalai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent him a glima, a nice suit for the cover. He refused to accept the present, the gift, the suit from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel from the Nasi. Delay Tifta, Yehuda raised the mat that he was standing on, and a nace happened, and Vina Amarlai Lushucho Chazi Ma'ika Miu Lo Nichalai Disane Behadin Alma. So what happened was that apparently this mat turned into gold coins or some sort. That's what the Masif is telling me here. This is based on the Ran. The Ran says this. A nace happened. And he said to the Shluach of the Nasi, see how much richness I have. I don't need your gifts. I just don't want to go. And in order that he shouldn't be embarrassed, that's what happened. And therefore, but he didn't want to get any hanah from the Nasi, from Om Haz at all. That's why he refused to accept it and he didn't come to the fast. Okay, interesting Gemara. A bunch of interesting stories.